You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 57.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Hello and welcome to V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark, the King of Procrastination today, Johnson, and this week's review will be about The Unknown Soldier, Haunted House by Joshua Dysart and Alberto Pontanelli. Probably butchered that name, butcher name every week. Can we just get like John Doe or something? I don't know. In today's world, probably not. So, did you all miss me? I'll take your silence as a no. So what I wanted to do before I get started in my review was to talk about WonderCon 2010. But to be honest, there really isn't much to talk about. Actually, there is a little. Let me move my mic. So, I went Friday. Oh, and I'm gonna get out the way. I'm very, very, very disappointed in the lack of Vertigo's presence at WonderCon. I don't know if it was because Seattle's was, what, fortnight before, and something else is a fortnight after, and yada, yada, yada. But there's, like, no Vertigo presence. I mean, I remember seeing my favorite, Bill Willingham. And there was like a couple of Vertigo panels too with other people I don't remember a few years ago. But man, there's nothing there. And I tried to get me, DC Direct figures. But then I saw the line to wait in the line to maybe get one, to get a chance to buy them in that line. I think I added a line. There were at least two lines. They were all really fucking long. Right? That first one. Yeah, there was the one line to get in. There was that line that. I make as much sense as episode one in the Watto bit. Anyways, I didn't get it. But what I did get, a little scratch in my car thanks to Metreon's parking garage. Whoa, snuck my microphone over. Okay, I bought a lot of fucking comics. All Vertigo but one. And this is 11 trades. It's 10 trades of Vertigo. Which is funny, I went to the 50% off site or kiosk, whatever. Not really kiosk. And then I went there, I was like, there's not really anything I want to buy. And I spent like $20 there. Which is a lot of comics. 2025, whatever. And I was like, wow, there's only two more 50% off bins when I think last year or the year before there was like five or something. So I'm probably not gonna buy much. And then I went to the second one. And then there was a lot. So the things I bought and that I'll be reviewing on the show are. I got Echo Volume 1, but I won't be reviewing that on the show. Death. The High Cost of Living, in no particular order. Transmetropolitan, Back on the Street. Fables, 1001 Nights of Snowfall. Scalped, Casino Boogie. Testament Babel. I hope I got the right one. Yeah. I know. Sucks if I have it. The Exterminators, Insurgency. Jack of Fables, The Bad Prince. Crossing Midnight. A Map of Midnight, DMZ, Body of a Journalist, and Northlanders, The Cross and the Hammer. Now, what was disappointing, as I told you, I want to finish the Sandman series. They had all the trades from like 1 through 4, but I need 8, 9, and 10. So I'm going to have to order those from in-stock trades. And I was looking for the second volume of Madame Xanadu. Didn't have that, but I had these. And then I know what you're asking. You're like, Mark, didn't you hate on some of those series? Don't you fucking hate Jack Bill Willingham? Didn't you hate the first volume of Scouts? And also Rebecca and Jonathan did. And didn't you dislike Northlanders? All right, to defend myself, and I might do it when I review these books. Fables, 1001, Nightfall, Snow, whatever. I heard it's pretty good. And it's like a collection of short stories or something. I haven't read it. So, whatever. And Scalped, I just hate the artwork. So, if I can understand what's going on, I might like it. And then, Northlanders, I just hated where it was going. So, this might be good. Like, seriously, how much can you do in that one small part of the world? You don't know. Where the temperature's the same and everything. People are the same. So, oh shit. You know what? I'm gonna raise this mic up on my stack of comics. Give me a second. Where the hell is it? Ooh, ah. Boom. That's what I call a mic stand. I'm gonna have to fucking crouch over and shit. It might fall. Ooh. Yeah, this is a lot better. I like it. Can you people hear me? Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3. Hello. Okay. We're good to go. Whatever. Fuck you, friends, for hating on me or ditching me. Oh, shit. I hit a button. Oh, I did some shit. Whatever. Yeah, going to a convention by yourself is not fun. My phone broke. I got sick. I actually had to pay for my way in. No, that was me. And I didn't split parking. $28. Thank you very much, San Francisco. But I don't want to talk about that crap now. So that was a couple weeks ago. That was last week, actually. Last week? What date is it? I don't know. You know what I do want to talk about? So, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned Red Letter Media's review of episode 1. So, they just released episode 2 on Easter. And I watched it, and it is good. Everyone go watch it. And, yeah. He picks up some really good points. Did you know there are people in the internets that don't like his reviews? And if you don't like his sense of humor or the way his voice sounds, that's fine. But to be honest, he's right. And if you think any wrong, you're a fucking retard. I mean, I fucking hate fanboys. Like, if you can't make fun of something you love, you, sir, do not have a sense of humor and are jackass. That's right. I mean, I love Transformers and Star Trek. I make fun of that shit all day. But I'm actually having more fun reading people's responses to his review, whether it's on YouTube comments or Ain't It Cool News or random message boards. It's like, Jesus Christ. Some people will be like, I haven't seen the review, but it's why are you commenting on a thread where you haven't seen the review? And then he gets all nitpicky, which he does. He gets more nitpicky in the Star Trek ones than in the prequel ones. He can get real nitpicky in the prequel ones. But he brings up some logical points. And people, like, this is what I don't get. I don't know if I mentioned this before. I always say that, which I mention a lot of things. But this is what I don't understand. Like, you can like what you like. I understand people for liking Fables. We'll use Fables as an example. No, that might be too harsh. The writing does kind of tighten up. Alright, we'll use movies. I like Transformers 2. I also like the Battlefield Earth. And the One. And Double Team. What other? Hudson Hawk 2. Now I'm just looking on my DVD shelf. But This is the difference between me and a fanboy. Well, I can make fun of those movies. That's one difference. But the main difference is, I know none of those movies are fucking good. Majority of these prequel Lucas defenders, they don't see the how bad they are storytelling wise. I don't even fucking care about it. Jar Jar and Anakin, like logic wise, there's no characterizations. You don't give a shit. There's no bad guys. There's nothing happens, and it's sterile. And you're just like, what? But I like those shitty movies, right? Well, some are more shittier than others. But I would never defend them by saying, yeah, this is a good movie. The most I would get would be like, the one had a really good idea. Really interesting. You know me and alternate timeline shit. Is it a good movie? Eh. Transformers 2. Duh. Aside from Megatron, who was a complete pussy, and the racist Transformers and giant robot balls. I didn't care for any of that stuff either, to be fair. But did it have giant robots that just killed people and beat the shit out of them, each other? Yes. Was that all I expected? Yes. Will I say any of this is a good movie? No. Yeah, so, I don't know, like, you can like what you like. But to say something's good or bad, or hating on a guy who points valid flaws in your shit that you like, people always get defensive. I say that, and, oh, Jesus. No, that's different. I'm not even going to get in that tangent. But, and people, there are people that don't like him, or they don't think he makes sense. It's like, yo, dude, they don't make sense. There ain't one memorable character in episode one. Everyone has a fucking lightsaber in the prequels. It ruins the lightsabers. Yoda should not have needed a lightsaber. I was very disappointed when I saw that. I was like, oh, shouldn't he be so powerful that he beats your ass without a lightsaber? Yeah, that would have been cooler, right? Like, he just steps on the screen, you're like, oh, there's Yoda. Like, at the end of Return of the Jedi, the Emperor does not have a lightsaber. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh shit, he doesn't have a lightsaber. He has fucking lightning bolts from his hand. Yeah, that's an upgrade over a lightsaber. You expect Yoda to be the same way, but the opposite. Whatever the Force people, the good guys do. But yeah, people are defending it. It's very entertaining for me. Because I'm like, oh my god, you guys don't get it. You don't get his voice. Where he's like, nah, it can be kind of annoying. I can agree, but you know, people think it's sarcasm, right? No, his points are actually valid. He's just telling it in a humorous way. And he's a genius. He is a genius. And people that think he's not are, well, you're fucking stupid. If you don't like him, that's fine. But, prequels aren't good. I still don't know what happened. Watching the episode 2 review reminded me, like, really? What happened in episode 2? Because, I don't know if I said this. Again, that's what I'll keep saying. But, I got caught up in the hype in episode 1. It didn't help that I worked at KB and had, like, access to all the toys and made a little killing selling them on the side. But then I walked out of it and I was like, wow, that was good music. Nice little fight scene. But I was like, I really like that movie. And then I had to see it again, this time with my girlfriend. And I walked out of it like, there are bits and pieces, but honestly, I didn't like it. And then he does bring up a good point, episode 2. You're like, you go, alright, episode 1 was a bit rubbish. Episode 2 possibly can't be that bad, right? And then I watched it, and I was bored. I was like, is this gonna end? I don't know what happened, love story. And I still don't remember what happens. To me, Attack of the Clones is like a 5-minute movie where they try to kill Natalie Portman. And then there's some clones. And there's like a 2-hour fight scene. And there's a nice Natalie Portman midriff. And that's it, right? I don't know. I don't know what happened in that movie. And then episode 3. This is what I wonder what he'll say at the beginning. He'll probably be like, well, you already saw 1 and 2 and you know they were bad. But you're like, fuck it. I already saw the first two. Might as well see the third one. Because that's exactly what I went into. I was like, man, it's not going to be good. But actually, after I left episode two, I was like, all right, episode three. Anakin becomes Vader. He kills a lot of Jedi. How bad can that be? Alright, so I'm waiting. Okay, so Mace Windu is going to kick some ass. There's going to be some fighting and shit. I've been waiting for him to become Samuel L., which does get addressed on Red Letter Media's episode 2 review. You're like, okay, I'm waiting for that shit. Episode 3, so I get Mace Windu fighting, because I've seen an interview Samuel L. say he don't want to die like a bitch, and he did, unfortunately. And then, okay, I get Anakin turning into Vader, and he kills a lot of Jedi. Okay. That should be cool. If I turn my brain off and watch it, and I don't get none of that. I get Anakin killing kids, kind of off screen, kind of on screen. And I get like another hour long ridiculous Jedi fight scene between Obi-Wan and Anakin. I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, it was worse. Well, that was better than episode 2. Only because I can't remember what happened. Except he kills kids and he gets the girl because of it. Yeah. What happened in episode 3? How did it start? Huh? He killed Dooku. And then he becomes bad because he thinks Obi-Wan's sleeping with Padme. And it was like an hour and a half fight scene. And that's it. Is that it? What? I don't know what happens in episode 3. I don't know what happens, huh? There's like a fight scene, right? I'm confused. Anyways, go watch it. And don't watch Confused Matthew's reviews, because I tried watching that shit and it sucked. He, which is maybe some people's problem with me, he just sounds like a whiny fanboy. Oh my god, I don't get it. Which I hope I don't sound like that, because I'd be sad. It's already been a trying day, people. I'm kind of doing this podcast to procrastinate. Oh, I feel like my soul's got ripped out. Just like, stepped on the ground. Like, okay, so that's enough of my WonderCon thing. I'll go again next year and blah, 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 whatever. And my Red Letter Media. There's no Vertigo news. Thanks a lot. They're probably waiting for San Diego. So, let's get damn to it.
And now it's time for the rundown.
All right. This week's review will be Unknown Soldier. I'm a soldier. Blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry for the long ramblings. Haunted House by Joshua Dysart. Is that the same dude? Same name of the dude in Terminator 2? The black guy? I don't know. And Alberto Ponticelli. Like before, I didn't write down a review, so I'm going to try to sum it up. In northern Uganda, 2002. Wish I'd read this back earlier. I don't know why it takes place in 2002, but whatever. So, it's Africa in 2002 in Uganda. Yeah, picture that. Okay. Now, in comes a former Ugandan, Dr. Luenga Moses. And he fled some regime in Uganda. He became a doctor, fucked white women, that then ends up marrying another Ugandan. I hope they delve into that more. That would have been really interesting. Like, I can understand marrying another black person because you have an image to maintain or whatever after you fucked white women, but what are the odds of you marrying another Ugandan chick? The one other one who's also a doctor and educated. So him and his wife decide to go back to Uganda, you know, to help or something like that. I don't know what they do. You know, they're pacifists. Ooh, can't help with guns, even though they're going to kill us. Actually, what they need is a dictatorship. They need President Hassan. I'm not going to spoil 24. I'm still sad over that. So, for whatever reason, within, I don't know whether to call him Moses or the doctor, but within Moses lies a heart of like an unstoppable killing machine aka Unknown Soldier. And then he fucks shit up. He mutilates his own face. And then he kills some rebels. He kills lots of rebels. And then he meets some Australian. Hello, mate. And some nun chick in Uganda. I'll sweep out. Kills everybody. The end. Blah, blah, blah. Man. I'm tempted to, if I wasn't so lazy, to insert, you know, Back to the Future, where Marty McFly is like, this is heavy, Doc. This Unknown Soldier is some heavy shit. So heavy, I don't even know if I want to continue reading it. Where I had my problems with Northlanders and Scout, but look, well, here, I'm giving them another chance, right? It also helped that they're 50% off. But man, this is rough. See, I don't mind violence. In fact, I love it. I just saw First Blood. And I want to watch some more stuff. I want to go popping Predator 1 and 2. But man, violence with 14-year-old kids taking place in a shit stain of Africa, which is war-torn, and then you get... It's not just violence, it's violence, violence. Brutalizations like rape and dismemberment. Man, that shit is rough. Even for a cold-hearted bastard like me. So I don't know if I'm going to continue. Now, what I didn't like, and what made no sense, is that Moses, the doctor, whatever, he scarred his own face. That seems kind of convenient and forced to me. It would have made more sense if the rebels or someone did it, especially when some character goes, well, they do that. Sometimes they do that. Maybe it was the nun chick. And it's like, well, why didn't someone do that? I mean, and I know he did it to try to get the demon out or something or another. And I just thought it was stupid. So there was this part that I liked, and I wish it was explored upon more, was that the rebels weren't all evil. I mean, in here, it's probably like 80%, maybe 90% that they are. But I mean, when they're first shown, it doesn't seem that way, because that would have been the easy way out. But they don't, because the leader, he's a God-fearing man. He doesn't touch the sisters, and he punishes those who did, even if, you know, they're pretty fucked up. And he left the Unknown Soldier alone because they thought he was a priest. Now, I wish there was more in that, because it's a lot more gray. Despite, this is tricky, rebels and governments, they both think they're fucking right. They're both wrong. You know who's right? The winner. Yeah, well, the winner at the time. So... you can say, oh, what do you mean governments? But no, say rebels win, whatever. And then they're going to do... things always start off well in a regime change. numerous examples. But then they go to shit. And then you're like, well, they're both gray. Because they both do some pretty fucked up things. Now, me being a student of history. My favorite ruler and the best ruler, I think, of all mankind. Was, in fact, Genghis Khan. Now, granted, I live in a Western society, so, you know, he's quote-unquote evil. But he ruled pretty fairly. However, I mean, he left you in charge. You didn't have to worship any kind of religion. He didn't give a shit. You just pay him his tribute. All good. Sure, he kills whomever's in charge. That's just something you gotta do. But, you know, he left teachers and lawyers alive and various doctors and things like that. Nowadays, probably just kill all the lawyers too. But then he'd leave a garrison behind. And of course, since that garrison was light and there'd be probably like 5 people or some shit. Because they're kind of token. They're not really in charge, but they are technically in charge. And then they get slaughtered. And then he gets word of this and he's like, were they slaughtered? Well, okay. Then he goes and levels the town. Now that's the way I rule things. That'd be fair, right? I'm not really asking you to believe in my God, or really, you, instead of paying to the current government, you pay to me. I'm not gonna torture you, nothing. But then if you don't obey my rules, such as no death or no stealing or nothing, and then you kill my people in charge, and I know you're hiding and you're helping the people that did it, I'm just going to destroy the whole town. And some people think that's really bad. That's Mark, that's really bad, Mark. That's really fucked up. But I'm like, no, dude. That's fair, first of all. But I can be considered gray. I mean, I do bring peace, and I do rule well, you know. I forgot my point. Yeah, so I don't think there was enough good showing of the rebels, like why they fight. It did sort of get towards the end, where Moses mentioned, well, these are just the same like the rebels, but they just wear different uniforms. Or they just have uniforms, I should say. I don't know. Now, I don't quite understand the unknown soldier. Not the character in the book who becomes Dr. Luenga Moses. Actually, I don't understand that either. But, like, the term in general, I mean, I understood what it meant in real life, but more in comic book, like the history in comic books. So I did a quick wiki search, and I learned that the unknown soldier had a long history and has been used for different people and mean different things. And scars and disfigurement aside, because apparently they all have fucked up faces, there are similarities, like he's a soldier and he kills various people in the wars. Now, the one unknown soldier I found that was really interesting was one incarnation, I'm not sure which one, there was an unknown soldier who was a master of disguise, and he'd be like a chameleon, a la Christopher Chance in Human Target comics, I was going to say comic show. So that was probably the most interesting thing I learned. That would have been cool. But that's not this one here. Now, what I wanted to know, and unfortunately didn't find through Wiki, was, did all the unknown soldiers hear voices? I'm guessing no. And I really do hope it gets explained more. I will pick up the second trade sometime. Actually, I think it just came out in the middle of last month or this month. I'm not sure which. But I hope that gets explained more. Not too much. I mean, the problem is they're going to explain it, and it's going to probably lose the mysterious thing, and it might end up being gay. Or mean something else. It's like, oh, you get a couple. See, it might be like the Hulk, but then you're like, oh, if I wanted to read the Hulk, I'd fucking read the Hulk. But it might be that Moses was brainwashed and or trained by the CIA or something, and he's like a sleeper agent, which it seems to be, because there were scenes like that, which I still didn't entirely get, because it kind of just happened out of nowhere, unless they were Moses' memories, which he did have from time to time. You know, that's my guess, and my guesses are usually right. It's gonna be explained more. And those are gonna be his memories of his training. But what's gonna be really interesting is why train him, and that'll be the key. Like Blackest Night was pretty fucking predictable, and it wasn't that good, fanboys. Greatest event ever. Peter Rios is smoking crack. Yeah, Sinestro Corps is better. Blackest Night, 3 out of 5. But, yeah, that would be interesting. Like, did Moses sign up to be trained? Or did they kidnap him and then decide to use him? Because, let's face it, a random white guy, hell, a random black guy who's not fucking born in Africa, you kind of stand out. And then he does have the credentials. And like a good undercover, and it's hard to say when he got fame, but Moses did get fame, so it's all like that. I think that really depends more. I don't know which direction I want to see it go, though. I don't know. It's brutal when it's brutal when he Do I want to see him be like Jack Bauer in Africa? Part of me says yes, but it's rough to read. Do I want to know more about his background? Part of me says yes, but then part of me is like, I might slow it down a bit. So I don't know. So I don't know if you people should read it. It depends on the violence. Like, some people, you guys, you or they, whatever, me, we, whatever, complain about Enos's violence. But his violence often has a point to it. Not that I think that violence should always have a point to it, because that would... sometimes it just doesn't. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. But people get on him about this shit in all his comics all the time. But there's a reason for it, and it builds up. Here, there barely seems to be a breather. There's definitely no reason except I'm going to be more fucked up than you, which is, in reality, that's fucking fine, but man. Still rough to read about. So, I'm going to stop procrastinating. I'm going to go procrastinate doing other things. And my score for The Unknown Soldier, Haunted House. I think I just finally got the title. Haunted House. Because Moses is the house and he's haunted. Booyah! Art is good. What more do you need to know? If the art was... let me go on the art for a bit. If the art was more like scalped, I could probably handle the violence a bit more. Because it'd definitely be more subdued and be more like... more impressionistic? Artistic? Vague? Whatever. But here, the art is more real. Quote unquote realistic looking, so it's rougher. But it's good. Let me flip through it. It's good, detailed. And I flip to the page, of course, where some little kids... And there's a mine, and they get blown up, and they lose their legs. Great! Oh, it's rough. I don't know. So, my Mark Critic score is a 4 out of 5. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm back, baby. And as you can tell, got a stack of trades to read, and I won't be quitting anytime soon. Anyway, I gotta place an order. I'm poor. Starting an own business makes me poor. I might have to push it back too, which depresses me even more. As always, feedback, iTunes, appreciate it. Next week's pick will be... Of course I didn't write it down. It's not one of the 10 Vertigo trades. Here we go. Oh shit, I'm just knocking everything over. Next week's pick will be The Unman. Get your pick on. What happened to Missy? Get your pick on. That's dashy. We do with me now. We got the words. It's been like 10 years. Goo, holla. I gotta see when that was published. I wanna get your pick on. As always, comments, questions, suggestions. Email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. And if the forums are up, go to thecomicforums.com. See what's coming up. Visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Follow me and my whiny in this thoughts things I'm doing on twitter.com/hellspire. And remember, email me if you want some pizza rolls. Wait a minute. No, I don't. Goodbye.
And like that,